Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for listening to this week's message from Zoe Church Los Angeles. It is Easter Sunday. He is risen indeed. Today we're celebrating the fact that our God did not just die for our sins, but he had the power to rise again. I want to thank every person that listens, subscribes, likes, and comments on our podcast. And I want to thank everybody that faithfully gives, partners with us at our church to help get the message of Jesus out around the world. If you'd like to give, go to our website or text Zoe to 77977 and we'll shoot you a link right there. But let's jump into this Easter Sunday's message called Unconditional Love. John chapter 1, verse 17. Anybody have plans to eat really good today? Anybody have plans? One of my sons got in trouble this morning. My 8-year-old got in trouble. And I said, okay, you get to choose your punishment today. He goes, not tweets. Today's a big tweet day. I go, you're right. Queens, it is. But we hope you have the best time with your friends and your family. Today I'm talking about, you can write down the title. I want to talk about God's unfailing love. That there are certain things in life that could fail you. The economy could fail you. A politician could fail you. But one of the things about God is his love will never fail. And today, Easter Sunday, represents that there is a new contract intact. Anybody, by show of hands, you've ever signed a contract? Let me see your hand. Let me just see your hand. You signed a contract. Every time I get a new iPhone, I just skim through and sign the contract. But I like this thing, DocuSign. I love DocuSign, that you can, somebody emails you a link and you get this document, and I just start skimming through, just signing, just putting my initials, I'm putting my signature. You can have my first child, second child, third child, fourth child. You can have all of them. I don't really know what I'm signing up for, but I'm signing this agreement. I'm locked in for 2 years or my lifetime. I don't know. I'm not reading. Today, Resurrection Sunday, represents the old contract is done, and a new contract is here. A new contract has come to us, the new agreement, the new covenant of Jesus. And I love this. Watch what the Bible says. John chapter 1, verse 17, the first scripture today. It says, for the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. God's unfailing. God can't, his love in your life will never fail. It will never let us down. It will never run out. So this new agreement, remember the law was before Jesus. The law meant you had to be perfect. You had to be holy. You had to do these things to be right with God. The first time the law is preached by Moses, 3,000 people die. The first time grace is preached in the New Testament, 3,000 people are saved. The law kills, but the grace of God gives life. You know my rule. If one person claps, everybody got to clap. West Side, clap with us. One person clapped. The law was conditional, but grace is unconditional. The law was, if you do this, you're in good with God. Grace says, if you believe this, you are good with God. This is now his unfailing love that is at work in our life. Let me just tell you when this happened, by the way. God loved you and executed this for you when you were in your worst place. Romans chapter 5, put on the screen, verse number 8. But yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus chose to give you abundant life, not when you were good, but when you were bad. Not when you were in church, but when you were away from church. Not when you turned your life for him, but even when you were against him. Anybody thankful that God didn't wait for you to get right, for him to make the right decision for your life? This is his unfailing love, his unfailing, will not fail. The love of Jesus will never fail. Look at the next scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to this earth to live and to die. Today proves that Jesus was not a prophet. Jesus was the Messiah. The fact that he rose from the dead proves that he was not a good man. No, our God, he is the God-man. He's the Savior of the universe, and it's his unfailing love. In the Bible, it talks about all kinds of different levels of love. You and I discover, you know, you ever tell somebody you love them, and then you get into an opportunity to either prove or kind of reveal to yourself, maybe there's levels to my love for you. Like, I love to tell people, like, man, I love you, bro. But if someone's like, hey, I'm moving, do you think you can come over? I'm like, dang, like, that was big, you know, like, I barely help my own family when we move. You know what I'm saying? Like, love you, bro. Like, if you broke on the 405, you broken down, you're on the 405 freeway, call AAA. Don't call me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love you, but I'll pray for you. You know? The Bible talks about a phileo love, which is a brotherly love. Like, I love my brothers and sisters, not just my family, but like my spiritual family even. Like, I love you. There's a storge, which is like a maternal love, like the way Julia loves our kids. It's beautiful to watch. I'm not there yet. But it's beautiful to watch. An eros, which is like a romantic love, which is the way that we love our spouse, our significant other. Some of y'all need to hear that, not others, other. Somebody's like, whoa, shots fired. I'm in Banana Republic. But the greatest form of love is agape love. The love of Jesus, the unconditional, unfailing love of God. Let me show you the way Paul describes it. Read here in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, and I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love, how wide and how long and how high and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone could ever know. But I pray that you will be able to know that love, that you can be filled with that fullness of God's love. With God's power working in us, God can do much more than anything we could ask or imagine. See, the law was about trying to earn his love, but now through Christ, I receive this love. It's higher and wider and longer and greater than anyone could imagine. In fact, I'm failing to describe this love. I'm trying to my best teach you how big this love is. Watch just this last scripture. Look at Psalm. Watch how the psalmist writes. Psalm 36. God's love is meteoric. His loyalty is astronomic. His purpose is titanic. Shout out to Leo. His verdicts are oceanic. Yet in his largeness, nothing gets lost. Not a man, not a mouse. Nothing slips through his cracks. This love holds the earth and all that is within it, and the sun and the moon and the stars, and yet his love is pointed at you today. His love is for your family. His love is for your business. His love is for your situation. I'm thankful today that God loves me. Oh, come on, anybody thankful today that Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, when he rose from the grave, he proved that he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. It's an unfailing love. It's an unconditional love. It's not based upon whether I come to a church service or not, whether I give my money or not, whether I go on a mission trip or not, whether I'm trying to be perfect or not. No, he loves me in my bad times. He loves me in my low times. He loves me when I'm away from God. He loves me when I'm doubting. He loves me when I'm struggling. Come on, clap a little bit louder. Anybody grateful today that God's love will never fail? A currency could fail you. Shout out to crypto. Some political party could fail you. A politician could fail you. Even a preacher could fail you. But God's love will never fail you. And his love does something mighty in our life. It does something powerful in our life. I'm going to give you four things today of what this grace, what this love does in our life. Write down number one. The first thing that his love does in our life is that it saves us. We're saved by this love. We're saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. The Bible teaches us this way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Let it come on the screen. For it is by grace you have been saved. Grace has a name, and his name is Jesus. Grace is not a principle. Grace is a person. Grace is the embodiment of Jesus. For you have been saved by grace, not by works, the law. Lest anybody should boast. This is the free gift of God. that God said, listen, if anybody were to trust in my son and believe in my son, they now have grace. They now can receive this unconditional love. So I want to just encourage you, nothing you've done has saved you. It's everything that God has done for you has saved you. You're saved by grace. And I know you've been looking for all things, all these things to save you. You've been looking for your career to save you. You've been looking for a significant other to save you from your problems. You've been looking for significance. I will tell you, the love of Jesus will save you from the darkest place you've ever been in. The love of Jesus will save you from an identity that is wandering and looking for confidence. The love of Jesus will do a mighty work in you and eventually do a mighty work through you. Look at this next one, Lamentations, put it on the screen. I love this. Sorry, Deuteronomy 7. It says, the Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than the other nations, for you were the smallest of all the nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you. Like it was just like, God's like, gosh, I just love him so much. And I love you. And I know you're not like, I know you're not perfect. I know you don't have all the answers, but I want you to feel and understand my love. It wasn't because of you doing these great things. It's just because I love you, I sent my son. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today for my salvation. It comes through Christ alone. He is the one that has purchased salvation for me. Now I have the hope of heaven. So I'm saved by grace. Grace saved my life. Pulled me out of a pit, called my name. Oh, I love that story. How beautiful was that story from the Million Dollar Theater Apartments? Come on, to salvation in Jesus. Clap one more time for Naylene's story. That was beautiful. Beautiful story. Why does he do that? He calls to us. He speaks to us because he's got something better for us. So number one, he saves me. Write down number two. Today he forgives me. Oh, we find forgiveness in Jesus. In fact, watch what the scripture says. Read how Ephesians puts it. It says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his, what's that last word there? His grace, the riches of his grace. In him we have redemption. In Jesus, we have been redeemed from destruction and the destruction of our decisions. In him we have forgiveness. When you're forgiven, God takes away your debt. He takes away your penalty. Anybody you ever get your credit card bill, whether it's online or you get it in the mail, you ever get your credit card bill and you're like, really? Did I do that? And then you're kind of like, whoops, I did it again. Sorry, that one was just there and I had to walk in it. And the problem with sin is that you piled up such a big debt. And some of you are like, oh, yeah. And we accrued through our sin this massive penalty. But Resurrection Sunday reminds us that Jesus paid all of our debts in full. And you have been, your slate has been wiped clean. And he has paid for all of everything that you owed, everything that you should be paying for, Jesus paid it all. And he paid the weight and the gravity of your sin. This is a big deal to have someone step in and go, no, I got you. I'll cover it. My blood and my life will cover everything you owed God. I'll pay it for you. Everything you had to do by living up to the law, I will die for your sins, get up from the grave to seal for the fact for your life that you are forgiven by grace. When we receive this and we understand this, we don't want to just keep on racking up a bigger bill. Like, I love my dad. I get to see my dad this week. I'm excited. And whenever I go out to dinner with my dad, like, I already know that my dad wants to cover the bill. My dad loves to pay for the bill. Like, when we go to dinner, it's like my biggest treat every once in a while to cover the bill for my dad. Like, every once in a while, I feel like splurging on my dad just to show him I make a little money, too. I take him down to Chipotle. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Dad, you just get some guac. You good, man. I got you, boy. Sold, like, 3 books this week. You good, bro? I got you, dog. Boy, came up. But when we go out to dinner, I know my dad is covering the bill. My dad is paying for the bill. If my family's there, my brother's family's there, my mom and dad, I know his credit card is. Just because he's got his card doesn't mean I'm going to order everything on the menu. Okay, well, dad's paying for it. We're getting stock. Stock. Steak. Throw some stock on the thing, too. Might as well put some Apple on that thing, Tesla and Amazon. And give me like 5 Doji coins while we're at it. Just because my dad is paying for it doesn't mean I ring up a crazy bill. No, because he's paying for it, I'm actually cautious. I'm actually respectful. See, when you understand that grace has forgiven you, you don't just keep sinning. You don't just keep living the way you want to live. You say, my God paid a penalty on the cross. He got up from the grave. I want to do everything in my power to walk as somebody that's been forgiven. I want to tell you something today. When you get to heaven, there's not a big bill. Jesus paid it. When you show up at those pearly gates, don't hang your head being like, oh, I know I'm going to get a reprimand. I know I'm in trouble. No, you're not. You are right before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Your debt has been paid in full. There's nothing that you owe because of the blood of Christ. So I tell you, grace is so powerful. This love is so powerful. It'll save you. It'll forgive you. Write down 3. We are freed by grace. This thing is so powerful, it will free you. Your alarm's going off. That's just parking in LA. I'm never mad at it. It's just a meter reminder. But what's so powerful is that Jesus, one of the missions of the life of Jesus is he says, I have been sent by the Father to set the captives free. It is my mission that you do not live in bondage, that you don't live chained to something. I have come. My grace is so powerful. It will set you free from self-hatred. It will set you free from being defeated. It will set you free from being disillusioned by sin. It'll set you free and set you on the right path. In fact, watch how Jesus says it in Matthew 11. It says this. It says, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you, Jesus says, how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. You ever, come on, I appreciate that right there. You ever see somebody and you're like, I'm convinced they never get stressed out. You ever meet somebody, you're like, they're happy all the time. I like on Instagram, I've seen this trend where it's like couples, like for every couple, there's like one that's like stressed out and like bogged down and like, you know, all the pressure. And the other person's just floating like an angel, just like. I showed it to Julie. I'm like, which one do you think we are? Crazy. He says, learn from me, and I'll teach you how to live free and light. You aren't meant to live bound to some addiction, bound to some person that keeps hurting you. You're meant to walk in the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. He has come to set the captives free. The question today is not if he can get you free. The question is if he can get freedom into you. The Israelites were in slavery, the Bible teaches, for over 400 years. They were in Egypt in slavery. And by the time they got out of Egypt, God got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. See, some of us, God has brought you out of a crazy mess, but there's some temptation to keep going back because this was comfortable. This was familiar. This was convenient. This is an old friend. No, I'm telling you today, it is by the grace of God that Jesus will teach you how to live freely and how to live lightly according to his grace. I have a good friend I have a good friend that played college football and would go on to the NFL and play for a number of years. And when he was in the NFL, he discovered he could make more money selling drugs than playing in the league. And so he became very good at selling drugs, so much to the point that the FBI discovered it and found him out. And he went to prison for a while. And while he was in prison, this is so good. See, it doesn't matter whether you're in an apartment in the $1 million theater or a prison cell. While he was in jail, God found him. And he went to a chapel service and he gave his life over to Jesus. And while he was there, he started to study the Bible and learn the Bible, and he got addicted to the things of God. He got saved, he got forgiven, and he got set free in prison. When he got out of prison, the closest church, when he was still on parole, when he was, you know, still had the thing on his leg, the closest church within a certain mile or radius was a church he walked into, and the pastor saw him and felt called to disciple him and invest into him and help him. So this pastor really started to develop my friend, and I want to encourage you today, because today he is hosting Easter services for the first time in Atlanta, Georgia, and a brand new church that he just planted. Come on, clap. I'm telling you, what God sets in motion, nobody can stop. And so he's a real close friend of mine, and he was telling me, you know, when he got out of prison, he was out, but he wasn't out. Trying to, you know, work out of him the thinking and the schedule and the mindset. See, the reason why grace doesn't work in you on salvation is God's trying to set you free so you can live free and lightly and become who God has called you to become. You were not called to wait, to be bogged down and burdened and defeated and destroyed. No, my Bible says you are the head and not the tail. The scripture says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world. See, grace is so powerful. It will save you, it will forgive you, and it will set you free. Why don't we clap together with the West Side and everybody? Thank God for freedom today. I'm free. Maybe you used to be addicted to a bottle or a pill. Maybe you used to be a Clipper fan. You're free today in Jesus' name. I love the Cowboys. Freedom in Jesus' name. She came in a Mazda, left in a Honda. You're free today in Jesus' name. Here's the last one, number four, because this is what grace does. Grace will save you in a prison cell or $1 million theater apartment or wherever you're at. He'll save you. He'll call your name because it's the agape love of Jesus. And then he'll come to you and say, hey, every wrong, bad decision you've made, no matter how dark and how decrepit and how evil you think it is, there's nothing that my blood can't fix. And so as big as a bill you think you have, maybe you thought you racked up $1 million bill, $10 million bill, $20 million bill, my blood will cover all of your sins. And I want to let you know that that sin is not more powerful than my grave. I got up from the grave. I defeated sin. I defeated death. So you are now not just forgiven, you are also free. You're free to walk in the freedom that I've promised you. And there is no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. You are free in Jesus' name. You're my son and you're my daughter. In the same way I got Israel out of Egypt, and eventually Egypt out of Israel, I'll do it with you. Some of us need to stop treating God like you're in a microwave with him. You're in a crock pot with Christ. And God is making something good. He's making something good. Don't rush Jesus. Don't rush Jesus. Every once in a while, Julia will be cooking in the kitchen. I'll come by, like, what are you making? Just like, sit down and wait. I'll show you. So he'll save you. He'll forgive you. He will free you. Here's the last one. Number four, he'll use you. He'll use you. Worship team, come join me. He'll use you. He'll use you. This is the grace of God. God will use you. God uses broken, ordinary, messed up people like me and you to do extraordinary things that your family members look and go, I know you. Al. I know you. Yeah, I know. Me too. It's crazy. I can't believe he'd use somebody like me. A lot of times, people come to grace and they're like, I'm just trying to get my freedom. And I know I need forgiveness. And I never found a love like this, but like, use me? Nah, man, I got the wrong last name. Or some people are like, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the things I participated in. Really? It's bigger than the blood of Jesus? God is not looking for talent and gifting and a wow factor. God's just looking for somebody available that would say, I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't have the answers. I don't even know the scriptures. But Lord, everything I've gone through, you can use it for your glory. Everything I've faced, you can use it as a testimony. I'll show the world, if God can break a chain like mine, God can break a chain like yours. If God can call my name, God can call your name. If God can heal me, deliver me, and raise me up, God can heal you, deliver you, and raise you up. He did it for somebody like me. He could do it surely for somebody like you. Use me, use me, use me. God's not looking for these capabilities. God's looking for availabilities. The greatest ability is availability. To say, Lord, because you have saved me and forgiven me and freed me, I know it's not much. I know it's not what they got and what they got. And I know they got a Tesla and I got an Uber account. But Lord, here it is. Here it is. Anybody love Pastor Travis Green last Sunday? Why don't we clap and thank God for Pastor Travis. Was unbelievable all the way from South Carolina. If you missed it, check it out on our podcast or our YouTube. He's tremendous. He's just such an amazing guy. And he was here last Sunday. And after the first service, my boys, I got three boys, my 10-year-old, my 8-year-old, my 6-year-old came in the back. And I wanted them to meet Pastor Travis. So my boys came in the room and I said, boys, this is Pastor Travis. I want you to meet him. And Pastor Travis is so smart. He said, boys, don't call me Pastor. I'm Uncle Travis. It's Uncle Travis to y'all. And I saw him reach into his bag and he pulled out his wallet and he's got cash in his wallet. And I'm like, who carries cash? They don't have Apple Pay in South Carolina yet. I get it, man. The South is outdated. Anyways, he pulls out cash and he hands each of my boys a $20 bill. And he said, boys, listen to this. He said, boys, every time you see Uncle Travis, I'm going to give you cash. And most times I see it'll be more money than this time. So he gave him 20. I was thinking, why don't I do that with other pastors' kids? Everybody gonna love me now. I had cash in like 4 years. I'm gonna go get me some cash. My boys got this $20, but they never seen $20 bills before. They're like, they seen ones for sure. One of them was like, which president is this? I don't even know who's on that. I don't even know. They're like, they're just marveling. Wow, $20. They couldn't believe it. They're tripping out. And they leave and they go to In-N-Out right after the first service. They went to go to In-N-Out to get lunch. And my 10-year-old, he's just an amazing kid. My 10-year-old sees a homeless guy at In-N-Out and walked up to him. And my son gave him his $20 bill. Just gave it to him. Blessed him. And when they told me this story, and they said, you know.